Hello again, friends. Andrew here. I've been adding some additional content to our show beyond our regular monthly episodes where we revisit and revise past Oscars ceremonies and wanted to spend some time breaking down some of the biggest news I saw coming out of CinemaCon last week. For those that aren't familiar with the event, it took place April 8th through 11th in Las Vegas and has become one of the biggest annual events for showing exclusive new movie footage, upcoming film release news, and much more. Now, while you're here, it would mean the world to me if you took time to subscribe to our channel if you haven't already, as well as rating and reviewing the show, which helps get us one step closer to our advertising goals. Before we get into this, let me just remind you that for anything that had a trailer shown at CinemaCon, I have made a point not to watch it. I've now gone 16 months without seeking out a single trailer unless it's while I'm at a movie theater, or if it happens to be on while I'm watching live television. I just find that contemporary trailers reveal way too much about the story, and I have found that every single movie experience I've had over the last year and a half has improved drastically without seeing a trailer beforehand. With that behind us, let's get into it. First up is Joker, Folie à Deux. The first trailer was revealed at CinemaCon, and as expected, the trailer proved to be quite polarizing in the online community. It seemed like those that loved the original 2019 Joker were excited by what they saw in the trailer. Those who were not fans of the previous film probably didn't see anything that swayed them too much based on what I heard. Now for me, again, I have not seen the trailer. I think the jury's still out on if Todd Phillips is capable of getting it right with the musical elements of this sequel. I hope for his sake he's able to bring on some of those people who were not a fan of the original while also retaining much of the hardcore fan base who loved 2019's Joker. If you remember, that was a massive critical and commercial success at the time. It earned Joaquin Phoenix an Academy Award, and I believe it still is the highest box office R-rated film of all time. So Joker, Folie à Deux is set to release this October. Up next, I want to talk a little bit about Mickey 17, the new film by Bong Joon-ho. We know that the first trailer was revealed at CinemaCon last week. This is the highly anticipated next film from Bong Joon-ho following his 2019 Best Picture winning Parasite. I personally am always fascinated to see what directors do with their first film after winning either a Best Director or a Best Picture award. I think it's always interesting to see what direction they take, if they stay true to what got them to that point in their career or if they veer off and do something completely off the wall. It's hard to tell based on what I've seen so far which way this is going to go for Bong, but I know that the cast, Robert Pattinson, Mark Ruffalo, Steven Yeun, Toni Collette, that gives me tremendous excitement. That's a lot of acting talent right there. And we also know that Bong has shown he's capable of crafting great work in multiple genres, whether it's something like Memories of Murder, which is more of a crime procedural, or if it's something like Snowpiercer, which has elements of action and science fiction involved in it. Ultimately, I have no doubt he's going to probably crush it in this science fiction realm with Mickey 17. I don't love the fact that the movie got pushed back to January 2025 in terms of an awards recognition standpoint, but I do still hope that Mickey 17 finds success both critically and commercially next year. Up next is Nosferatu, which also had a first trailer revealed last week at CinemaCon. This is one that I have had earmarked since the moment I saw it announced, and whether you like the style of Robert Eggers or not, it's hard to deny that his filmmaking style fits this story like a glove. This is just what seems like a seamless opportunity for him to nail this. Now, even though it seems like most people found The Northman to be overrated, not good, whatever people wanted to throw at that, I have to say I loved seeing The Northman on the big screen, and much like Ari Aster's Beau is Afraid, I think it was a director flexing and pushing himself after making two smaller scale films. And so even though I didn't necessarily think Beau is Afraid was a tremendous success for me, I appreciated the risk that Ari Aster took. And in the same way, I really enjoyed The Northman, and more so, I appreciated that Robert Eggers took a big swing with that one. Now, getting back to Nosferatu, the cast for this is stacked. You've got Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Bill Skarsgård, Willem Dafoe, Nicholas Hoult, and Lily Rose Depp, who's kind of emerging on the scene as a young actress. Now, again, it's been over 100 years since F.W. Murnau's original film. It's been over 40 years since Werner Herzog's version in 1979. And it's been 24 years since Shadow of the Vampire, which played with the idea of fact v. fiction in the making of the original 1922 version. So I would say that anyone that's excited about this film, I recommend going back and checking out all three of the films I just mentioned as you lead up to Nosferatu coming out. This film is set to release on Christmas Day this year. Shifting over, we're going to talk a little bit about Gladiator 2, which had its first footage shown on Thursday of last week. Now, this is the eagerly anticipated sequel to Ridley Scott's 2000 Best Picture winning film. It stars one of my favorite young actors, the handsome, the charming Paul Mescal. I'm trying to avoid too much about this movie beforehand because I really want to take it in with totally fresh eyes. But what I did hear about the footage shown sounds completely bonkers. I heard things like him battling a charging rhino, a horde of angry baboons, Pedro Pascal's in there somewhere, and much more. So I think when you throw in the fact that you have Paul Mescal, you have Ridley Scott returning to this Best Picture winner, you also add in an actor like Denzel Washington as a supporting character, and everything about this movie sounds completely badass to me. Now, I will say, while Ridley Scott has a history of making a bad movie for every good movie he releases, just look at House of Gucci and The Last Duel in the same year as a prime example, I still have incredibly high hopes for what Gladiator 2 will be later this year, and this movie is expected in November and has the potential to be a heavyweight contender come award season. Next up is Monopoly, which Margot Robbie and Lionsgate announced they are working on a movie of. Let's be honest here, I really don't want to address this movie at all, but I do think it's worth saying something, given the announcement is effectively piggybacking off the massive box office success of Barbie. I'm not here to knock Robbie at all, because she's become a tour de force on the production side of things in Hollywood. She's emerging as one of the most influential female voices in the industry, and I think that's really cool to see. On the flip side, though, we all need to buckle up because there is a subgenre that's about to explode with more projects than we can wrap our brains around right now, and that's going to be things based on toys, board games, etc. If you thought the recent subgenre of biopics based around product origins was rough, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to inevitably torture myself by watching this movie, probably with my kids who like playing Monopoly with us here at the house, but I have no hope of this movie being anything worthwhile. Up next is Sonic the Hedgehog 3, which had a teaser trailer revealed last week at CinemaCon. If you had told me back in 2019 when the original Sonic the Hedgehog trailer was released that this series would have already produced two of my favorite video game adaptations, I would have probably called you insane, but here we are right now. Seriously, both Sonic movies are full of charm, heart, and fun for the whole family. The first, I thought, did a great job of establishing the world and letting Jim Carrey do most of the heavy lifting with his portrayal of Dr. Robotnik, which I think was excellent in the original film. Then the sequel, I thought, did a really nice job of expanding the universe. It added classic characters like Tails and Knuckles to incredibly great effect. Now, it doesn't sound like much was shown in the teaser trailer aside from Jim Carrey's Robotnik gaining some weight, which puts him more in line with what he looks like in the video game. And there was the introduction of another famous character from the video game series, the villain Shadow. Between the upcoming Knuckles series on Paramount Plus and this trilogy film, I have to tip my hat to everyone involved in the franchise for delivering a genuine surprise hit. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 is set to hit theaters December 2024. Over to a piece of news I just did not see coming. That's The Running Man, directed by Edgar Wright, which he's rebooting, and starring Glenn Powell. Now, this news appeared to come out of complete left field for me when I saw it, but after reading up on it a bit more, apparently Edgar Wright announced all the way back in 2021 that he was set to make this adaptation of the Stephen King 1982 novel. For those unfamiliar, 1987's The Running Man starred Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it's something of a cult hit at this point, but I would say it's still underground enough that the remake might actually be the first time a lot of younger audiences are introduced to this story. Now, this will be Edgar Wright's first film since 2021's Last Night in Soho, a movie I thought was good for about 75% of the time, up until the end when it, to me, went off the rails. I do think that Edgar Wright's love of 80s movies makes him a suitable candidate to tackle this one and breathe new life into it, so we will ultimately see in a couple of years if The Running Man is a successful reboot. Shifting away from new movie content, there is another piece of news that came out of CinemaCon that I think is worth mentioning, and that is the much talked about return of Christopher Nolan's epic Interstellar going back into theaters this fall in IMAX, IMAX 70mm, and all of the large formats. Now, the rumors have been circulating, but we have it official this time. It's no real surprise that the movie industry is looking to capitalize on Nolan and Oppenheimer winning big at the most recent Academy Awards, and you're certainly not going to hear me complain about them re-releasing any of his films, Tenet included. Interstellar still remains probably the most impressive IMAX experience I've had to date, and I would urge anyone listening right now, if you didn't get a chance to see Interstellar in theaters during its original release, seek it out this time. You will not be disappointed. Next up on the news docket is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Paramount announced an R-rated live-action version of The Last Ronin. Personally, I'm a child of the 80s and 90s, so you better believe my ears perk up whenever I hear anything news-related about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Last year, I thought we got a fantastic new animated Turtles film with Mutant Mayhem, and I do think the time is right to try and branch out with more cowabunga content. I am admittedly not familiar at all with The Last Ronin. I am aware that it is a comic book series. It has also been announced to be a video game that they're going to make in addition to this new film. Not totally sure what to expect. Quite honestly, I don't even know if it's going to have the legs to get out into theaters because it sounds like such a radical idea. But the 90s kid inside me is hoping we do see this R-rated live-action version of a Ninja Turtles franchise. Next is Alien Romulus, which had its first footage shown last week. Now, from what I have heard, the footage included practical effects facehuggers and a chest buster causing a spaceship crash. Personally, I love everything in the Alien franchise, including the objectively dumb Alien v Predator stuff, and Prometheus, which I was unaware has become quite a polarizing film as of late. Everything that I have seen and heard about Alien Romulus, director included, has me excited to see what they're going to add and inject into this franchise. We know this movie's set to release in August, and I am looking forward to it. Let's shift gears now here at the end and talk about a couple of superhero projects that we know had some additional news come out of CinemaCon. First up was the Superman logo. We now know what it looks like. The current head of DC Studios, James Gunn, revealed the official logo for the new Superman film, which of course stars David Corenswet and Rachel Brosnahan. Now, I threw up a poll on our Instagram page to see what you all thought of this new logo. Surprisingly, 25% of our voters said the logo was awesome, another 25% said the logo downright sucked, and the final 50% of you said, look, it's just a logo, it doesn't really matter to me at this point. I have to say, I am with those 50% of people there. I wasn't particularly impressed with the design just on first glance, but I'm going to reserve all of my judgment until I see the actual Superman suit the Corenswet's wearing, and I want to see how the logo's integrated into that suit. So I'm going to hold judgment until now. Hopefully over the next few months, we get some more information from James Gunn and everyone over there at DC Studios. One of the final pieces of news that I know came out of CinemaCon was from the Disney panel. They gave us Deadpool and Wolverine, showing 9 minutes of footage. Kevin Feige came to the stage to debut the new footage, and he dropped numerous F-bombs on the stage, which helped to reassure those wondering if Disney and the MCU would be able to capture the R-rated edge that the previous two Deadpool films did. Everyone I saw reporting on the footage seemed to be head over heels about what they did see, and all signs point to this being one of the box office giants for 2024. I love the first two Deadpool films, and I have no doubt the on-screen chemistry between Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman is going to be off the charts. Deadpool and Wolverine is scheduled to release at the end of July, right in the thick of the summer blockbuster window. And over to the final piece of news, which I think is the strangest movie news of the entire week. South Park co-creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone are working with rap icon Kendrick Lamar on a live-action comedy coming out July 2025. The official description states the film will depict the past and present coming to a head when a young black man, who is interning as a slave reenactor at a living history museum, discovers that his white girlfriend's ancestors once owned his. Just let that soak in for a second, the amount of information I just hit you with, because when I saw this headline, I almost thought it was a parody. It just seemed too absurd to me. I have no idea if this is going to be an incredible project or something really stupid, but I do think it's going to be one hell of an experience either way. So whatever comes out of Trey Parker, Matt Stone, and Kendrick Lamar's minds, I'm eager to see it. There was, of course, plenty of other news that I wasn't able to get to, so I would urge you, after listening to this, go online, check out some of the articles that are out there, and they can give you the entire CinemaCon rundown because there was so much content put out last week. And with that, this concludes our bonus content on CinemaCon. Thanks for taking the time to listen, and I hope you'll go back and check out everything we have in our back catalog. I'll see you next time.